Go with me to 1 Corinthians 15, please. If you didn't bring a Bible with you this morning, the ushers have some extra Bibles. Be glad to let you use one of ours. Hold your hand up real high if you want to use one of these Bibles. And let's all go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. We've been on a topic here for some weeks now called Victory Over Death. And we want to continue on that this morning. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and 54. Well, let's back up to verse 51. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Anybody looking forward to that?
Yes.
It's going to happen quick, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. How many know, sure as you're sitting here, and more so, that trumpet's going to sound? We're going to hear it. Something's going to happen. We're going to be changed. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Amen.
Everybody said out loud, "We shall be changed."
We shall be changed.
Say, "I shall be changed."
"I shall be changed."
He said, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." One translation says it is gulped. Death was gulped up. What gulped it up? Victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say that out loud. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this verse has been quoted in reference to victory over physical problems, financial woes, whatever the case might be, different bondages and oppressions, and I believe it's applicable. But specifically speaking, he's talking about in this chapter, victory over death. Victory over death. Have we been given, through Jesus, victory over death? Yes, we have. In Hebrews, the second chapter, they'll put it up on the screen for us. But Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus himself, likewise took part of the same, that through death he, Jesus, might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Did he do it?
Yes.
It was necessary for the master to die, to redeem us. And he had to take on flesh just like we have so that that could happen. So he could die. And he did it that he might destroy the one who had the power of death. Did he do it?
Yes.
He did it. And notice the results for us in verse 15. And through doing that, deliver them. Did he deliver them?
Yes.
Them being us. Did he deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage? Fear of death renders you bound. And if you don't get free from death and free from the fear of death and the fear of dying, you will go through life hampered, restricted, with all these phobias. There's things you won't do and there's things you'll do that you shouldn't do. Why? Afraid you'll die. There are people that'll do it. They'll spend every dime they've got. They'll compromise their values to hold on to one more day down here. Like this is all that there is. And it's sad that so many people and so many Christians are terrified of dying. They're afraid to die. And you don't have to be. I said you don't have to be. People don't like talking about dying. But we're going to talk about it. We've been talking about it. We're going to talk about it some more today. We're going to get excited about it. Dying? Yeah. There's some 7 billion or so people on the planet, they tell us. And with that many people, you got a lot of people dying every day somewhere on the planet. You got a lot of people being born every day. If you could back off and see in the spirit, you'd see all these arrivals coming. I think they say something like 300 some thousand births a day somewhere on the planet. And about 155,000 departures, people dying every day. Almost 2 people die every second somewhere on the planet. Let's do it again. 2 more. Right? 2 more. What? Two more people just died somewhere on the planet. It's the way of all the earth. People talk like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to make it. They may die. Let me help you with that. They are going to die. Soon and very soon. You, everybody you know, your dog, your cat, your goldfish, your flowers. Right? It is the way of all the earth. And you're not ready to live until you're no longer afraid to die. We got a job to do. We're here for a purpose. For a reason. We need to find our job and call. We need to pursue it with everything that's within us. And then soon and very soon we need to realize we're going to hit the finish line. And it's going to be time to leave here. Right? And that shouldn't scare us. Shouldn't bother us. What happens when you die? Well, Ecclesiastes says that the body, the dust, returns to the earth. And the spirit returns to God who created. The Bible tells us that, you know, dying, the spirit leaves the body. It's just like pulling your hand out of a glove. Just like pulling your foot out of a boot when your spirit leaves your body. Well, your body without your spirit is dead. Sometimes people have said, well, if you never got sick, how would you die? Well, if you pull your hand out of a glove, do you have to stab it or shoot it to get it to quit moving? It ain't got any life in it. If your spirit leaves your body, it will be dead. And the Bible, people talk about, well, sorry about your loss. Sorry about your loss. And they use the word loss continuously in connection with death. But if they're a child of God, the Bible said, Paul said, for me to depart and be with Christ is gain. It's not loss. Yeah, but we lost them. Well, you don't cry and sorrow like those who have no hope because a relative moved to Arkansas or California or even so somewhere in Europe. So we lost them. They're over there in Texas now. Never seen them. They're just in a different place. You didn't lose them forever. Amen. How many believe heaven is just as real as Texas or Arkansas or somewhere else? Just much nicer. And we got family there. We got people there. And this is not imaginary. This is real. I said, this is real. And soon and very soon, you and I are going to breathe our last and we're going to slip out of our body. And it's not something to be afraid of. You need to be prepared for it. In fact, I want to talk to you this morning about how to do it. How to die. Right. Are you interested in this at all? How to die right. The scripture said in, let's see. Man, I got so many notes up here. In Hebrews 11, why don't you turn there and we'll be talking about some other things while you do. Put up on the screen for us Numbers 23:10. You're going to Hebrews 11. You're going to Hebrews 11. Numbers 23:10, the scripture says this, last part of it, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Friend, I want you to know, according to the word, there's a right way to die, and there's a wrong way to die. There's a right season to die, and there's a wrong season to die. People say, well, you know, it's appointed unto man a time to die. Actually, that's a misquote. That's not what that verse says. Put it up on the screen for us. Hebrews 9. Is it 9:27, I believe? Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men what? Not a time. What? Once. Somebody says, well, why? You can't die more than once. Oh, yeah. The Bible talks about the second death. And those in Christ, the second death has no power over them. It's appointed unto men what?
Once.
One time. It's not 12:35 on a Thursday afternoon, and when your number comes up, that's it, buddy. You're out of here. That's not true. People have invented that. In fact, if you study the scripture, you'll find that there are things you can do that will lengthen your days. Add years of life to you. Don't take my word for it. Study it out. Numerous scriptures along this line in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and other places. There are things that you can do that will shorten your life. The psalmist said, bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. There are things you can do, cut your life in half. And it wasn't God's will. It wasn't God's plan. Amen. Are y'all with me, friends? Amen. And the scripture says, Psalm 91, with long life,
yes,
I will satisfy you,
yes,
and show you my salvation. And there are things we can do, like we said, like the scripture said, that will add years of life and quality time to your life. I mean, if you live to be 125, it's going to come and go quick. And soon and very soon, that time will be up and it'll be time to go. But he said, let me die the death of the righteous. Not die the death of the wicked. Die the death of the righteous. Let my last end, let me go like the righteous go. Well, how about praying that out loud, everybody? Say it out loud. Let me die the death
of the righteous.
Let my last end
be like
his. Amen. Help me, Lord, to die right. To die in the right season. In Job, the scripture said, you'll come to your grave in a full old age like a shock of corn comes in his season. There is a right season to go. It's not 12:35 on a Thursday afternoon. And it's a time set in concrete no matter what you do. No, there's time when the corn's not ready to pull. Right? It's green. It's immature. It's not developed. But then there's a time when the corn's fully developed and the husk, the husk is dry and it's the perfect time to go.
Amen.
Right? And there will come a time, the Lord tarries is coming, that you and I will live out our life. We'll run our whole race and course and we'll just know it's time to go. Time to go. And you can go the way the righteous go. In Hebrews 11, notice what the scripture says about this. Hebrews 11:13, talking about all the heroes of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11. How did they die? How did they die? These all died in faith. That shouldn't be a shock to us, should it? Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. But faith pleases Him. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world. The just shall live by faith. The just shall walk by faith. Guess what? The just die by faith. By faith. Faith is the victory. You show me a man or woman full of faith, I'll show you a man or woman who's not depressed.
Amen.
Who's not defeated.
Right.
who's not scared. Did you hear me? The spirit of faith is the spirit of victory. The spirit of the overcomer. You face death in faith. Come on, everybody said out loud, if the Lord tarries is coming, I will die in faith. Not fear. Not fear. I'm going to die in faith. I'm going to die in faith. I'm going to die like the righteous die. There's a right way to die. There's a wrong way to die. In John 21, Jesus talked to Peter about when he was going to go. And in verse 19, John 21:19, he said, this spake he, signifying by what death he should what?
Glorify
God. If we die right, we die in faith, it glorifies God.
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
Go to Philippians 1, please. We're going to die in faith. We're going to die like the righteous die. We're going to glorify God. Not just as we live here, we're going to glorify God as we leave here. Right? So the people that saw us die, was there when we died, or heard about us dying, well, when they think about it, when they see it, they'll go, glory to God. Glory to God. Now that's the way to die. That's the way to go. Philippians 1. And let's back up, what about verse 18 or so? This okay this morning?
Amen.
Philippians 1:18. Let's see. No, I tell you what, let's just start at verse 20. He said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, that's a faith word, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Whether I live, whether I die, the Lord's going to be glorified in my body. Verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and the Lord gets glory that way. And for me to die is gain, and the Lord gets glory that way too. Thanks be unto God. We can glorify God in our deaths. Let me read some examples. Let's talk about the way some of the patriarchs went. Some of the examples of faith. You don't have to turn there, you can just listen. In Genesis 25:8, we see Abraham's departure. In verse 8, Abraham did what? Now this is a King James phrase. He gave up the ghost. Ghost is the word for spirit. Gave up the spirit, or yielded the spirit. What happened? The spirit left the body. He died in a good old age, an old man. When the Bible calls you old, you old. Full of years. And was gathered to his people. Was it just the end? Black? Nothing. No, he went to see his kinfolks. Right? Which is what you're going to do. And I'm going to do in just a few days. It's going to be wonderful. Anybody got family over there? Grandmas, grandpas, mamas, daddies, siblings, friends. You know who else you got over there? You got family you have never met. You got great, 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 great grandpa Jimbo. You didn't even know existed. Huh? And great, 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 great Aunt Martha. And besides that, everybody there is family. You're going to get to talk to Abraham?
Hallelujah.
Moses?
Amen.
David? Paul? And of course your big brother. The Master.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Why should we dread that? I said, why should we dread that? We ought to wish, if you believe, you don't. Dreading it and being afraid of that is acting like an unbeliever. No. The Bible said, let me read some other translations of that. The New Living says, he died at a ripe old age, having lived a long and satisfying life. He breathed his last and joined his ancestors. Somebody say glory to God. The Amplified says, Abraham's spirit was released. He died at a good, ample, full old age, an old man, satisfied, satiated, and was gathered to his people. This is scriptural, isn't it?
Yes.
With long life I will
satisfy.
We need to keep living. That if it means overcoming sickness, you overcome it. If it means overcoming challenges, you overcome them. Right? You keep living until you have the sense, I've done it. I've run my whole race. I've finished my whole course. I've seen everything I'm supposed to see. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Now, just because you get tired of things and you get weary of things doesn't mean it's time to check out. I'm talking about when you get through. It's easy to give up and quit. And a lot of people that could have overcome and could have been healed and could have lived years longer just got tired and quit. And unless you've been there, don't judge them. Because things can be wearing and you can get to a point where you just get so weary, it just sounds a whole lot better to go on home and be with the Lord than to keep doing this. But life is so brief to start with. There's no need to cut it short. You'll go soon enough. And you got a job to do. And you do matter. The devil's a liar. You do matter. It matters that you're here doing what you are supposed to do. And if you hadn't been doing it, all the more reason to stay longer and get some fruit before you get out of here. Try to make up for some lost time, right? Don't leave early. Don't quit. Don't give up. Run your whole race. Finish your course. Be strong. Have courage. Stick it out. It'll be done soon enough. Soon enough. Isaac also, the Bible said in Genesis 35:29, Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered to his people, being old and full of days. Genesis 49 says about Jacob's departure. I particularly like this. Jacob knew he was close to going, so he calls all his kids in. And for this whole chapter, if you read the thing, he prophesied to them. He talked to them about what was going to happen later, about what they needed to do, about the blessing of God, warned them about some things. Right? Genesis 49:1. And verse 33, rather. 49:33. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost, and was gathered unto his people. He prophesied to them. He talked to them. He prayed over them. He looked at them. He said, y'all got that? He said, yeah, Daddy. He said, that's great. He pulled his feet up into bed. He looked at them and went, spirit left his body. Glory to God. And went to see his daddy, his granddaddy, all his folks. Right? Thanks be unto God. Said out loud, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end, my last day,
my last moments
be like his.
Like
the righteous. Thank you, Lord. You know, Jesus is the greatest example of how to die. Right? Even in the most trying of circumstances and situation. Look in Luke 23. Luke 23. He's hanging on the cross, paying for our sins, redeeming us. He's moments away from dying. And in Luke 23:43, when the thief on one side asked him to remember him, he said, "Verily I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." Is there something glorious to look forward to? And when you realize, the Ecclesiastes says, the day of one's death is better than the day of your birth. Amen. Why? Because when you're arriving, you got all this to go through and get through with. Right? But when you're dying, hey, you're out of here. You say, "Man, y'all do good." Glad I'm not just starting out in this thing. Amen. We'll be rooting you on from the grandstands. Amen. And I'm going to go now. Bye. And in verse 44, it was about the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, notice what he said, "Father, into your hands I commend..." A lot of translations say, "Commit my spirit." This is how you go, friends. This is what you believe. This is what you say. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said that, he gave up the ghost. He yielded the spirit. The spirit left the body. God's Word translation says it like this in verse 46. "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." That word is translated "commend" here. It means to present to, and it means to entrust with. Your spirit, your soul, is the most precious thing you have. It's what you are. Bible said, if a man gain the whole world and lose his soul, what does he gain? And when it comes time to breathe your last, we haven't done this before. And so the unknown, there is the temptation to be afraid. But we're going to die not in fear. We're going to die in faith. Come on, saints, are y'all with me or not? Make up your mind now. Don't wait to try to figure out this when the time comes. Make up your mind right now. This is how I'm going. The Lord tarries is coming, and I die before he comes. This is how I'm going. I'm going like the master went. Right? And when I realize this is my last breath, by faith, whether I say it outside or whether I say it inside, by faith I'm going to say, "Okay, Father, here's my spirit. I'm trusting you with what happens next. Here's my spirit. Here's my essence. Here's my life. Coming back to you. And I'm trusting you that I'm going to be fine and better than fine." So here we go. "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." Let's go ahead and practice it a time or two. Say, "Father,
Father,
into your hands,
I entrust my spirit."
That's what you want to believe. That's what you want to say and do when the last moment comes. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Master. You commit it to him. And can you trust him?
Yes.
Can we trust him?
Yes.
Are we going to be okay?
Yes.
We are. We're going to be better than okay. We're going to glorify God in our life and in our death. In Romans 14, notice this. Romans 14 and 7. Romans 14 and 7. It says, none of us lives to himself, and no man does what? Dies to himself. You hear all this morbid junk? People say, well, when that moment comes, we're all alone. Nobody can go with you across that river. I ain't going alone. How about you? Oh, no. I'm not going alone. Jesus has told me, and he told you, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age and the time and the world. I'll be with you. And I say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Why? Because you are with me. You're with me. He's with me this morning. He'll be with me tonight. And when I leave this world, he will be right there. He'll be right there. He'll be with me. He'll be with you. Why should we fear? Man, we'll leave this body. We'll look back and go, whew, I'm done with that. Then you'll notice, I feel good. I really, really, really feel good. No hindrances, no curse, no sin, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more dying. Come on, come on. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Whether we live to the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Verse 8, whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. Say that loud, I'm his while I live.
I'm his
when I
die.
Hallelujah. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 talks about the same thing. For God has not appointed us to wrath. Somebody say, you going through this and through that judgment? No, I'm not going through it. Because God has not appointed me to wrath. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. We're not going to go anywhere Jesus has not already been before us. Right? And we're not going to go anywhere he's not going to go with us. That whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify and build up one another, even as also you do. Should we think about these things? Should we listen to these words? It comforts us. It strengthens us. The devil's always trying to scare us. Always trying to terrify us. And we're just not going to fall for it. We're not going to lay down and listen to it. And shaking our boots, are we? We're going to live with courage. We're going to live in faith. And when the time comes, we're not going to blink an eye. We're going to die in faith. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I shared last week about an experience that the Lord gave me concerning my dad. And I won't go into that again right now, but... For those of you that weren't with us, my dad and I were very close for many years, and I was going to a meeting. And he and mom were flying with me in a little small airplane going to this meeting. And he had had a real fear of flying. I mean, the only time or so he'd ever been up, it just really bothered him and took him a while to get over it. And so I didn't push it. But this situation came up after years later, and he said he wanted to do it. And I could see what he's doing. He's not going to let this thing beat him. Amen. And so we went. And about halfway there, he died in the airplane at 20,000 feet. I'm flying, so I couldn't get back there to him. It seemed like it took so long to get down. And I shared it. It bothered me. I thought, man, we didn't have to go. Why do we have to push it? And on, he wasn't that old. And just a couple of days later, the Lord spoke to me. I don't mean I heard a voice, but he spoke inside me. And this is what he said to me. He said, Keith, it's important to your dad that you see this right. Isn't that an interesting thing for the Lord to tell you? Well, he's there with him. It's almost like he's passing the message to me, right? It's like I said, it's important to your dad that you see this right. I thought, what do I need to change to see it right? And you know, the Lord talks to you the way you understand. And this is what he said to me. He said, Keith, you're looking at death as defeat. It's not defeat. It's transition. And he said, and your dad died with his boots on, facing his fear. Oh, come on, are you listening to me? Facing this thing head on, instead of cowering and running from it, he's facing it in faith. Somebody says, what if you die believing God or trying to believe God? Honey, you don't want to die any other way than believing God. Because the moment you get out of your body, and soon after that, the next thing you're going to see is him. Right? And how many think you don't want to go on to the other side screaming in terror and panic and no faith at all? You want to come through on the other side going, let us go over to the other side. So when the Lord sees you, he sees faith and he says, that's my boy. That's my boy. He believes no matter what. She believes no matter what. Let us do that. Let us die with our boots on, so to speak. No matter the condition of our body or whatever, let us die in faith, with courage, knowing that the one who's been with us every day down here is going to be with us there too. And it's only going to get better, and it's going to be far better than be in here. Can you say amen? Stand up on your feet, everybody.